Prabhupada then will comment that if you say, please do not go there, then you must go. Have you seen when you're on the street, there is, sometimes they do some repair work, and there is this red band, at least in Germany, red and white, and it's a limited area, no one may go there, and no, as a child, I had to go in the hole, you know. We all like to look, what is in this restricted area? Or we say, there's a movement, don't go to this lecture. Oops, maybe it's interesting, I must go. The moment, it's this human psychology, the moment you say, don't go there, the people will think, oh, that must be interesting. Otherwise, why would I be restricted? You know, we have this human, this human nature. We are, after all, still a little human. I mean, very much human. So this is what the gopi say. The one gopi says to the other gopi, if you have any interest in family members, wife, children, husband, don't go to Krishna. You will simply run after him. This is expressed in the shloka. The song is called "The Supreme Thief." Oh Krishna, what a great thief you are! When you were young, you simply were stealing butter. When you became older, you were stealing the clothes of gopis, and now you're stealing all minds. And also you steal the sins of your devotees, the bad karma of your devotees. What a great thief you are. And what do? You turn your devotees into homeless beggars who just go, Krishna, Krishna, where's Krishna? I'm only interested in Krishna. This left. What a great thief you are, Krishna. It's an extra special poem describing these things. And then the devotee says, but now your prison term has started. You are imprisoned in the darkest prison you can imagine. That is my own heart. You cannot leave it. Try to go. You are shackled by the bondage of my love. You are shackled by the bondage of my love. This is how the devotee pronounces the imprisonment term of his Lord. So coming back, this verse, I believe, is this also composed by Rupa Goswami? Is this correct? Or is it Smeram Bhangi? Yeah, this Smeram Bhangi shloka. This is a verse on eagerness. Indirect, it is said. Don't go there, and of course, oh, if he's such a beautiful boy in the dark night of in the full moon night, playing his flute, don't you tell me, don't go there. I'm just now going. Eagerness is evil. If you have this eagerness for Krishna, no need to study extra libraries of literature. If you have this eagerness in your heart, no need to think of, I must give this up, I must give that up. If you have this eagerness in your heart, you will automatically become enriched with knowledge and detachment. But without this eagerness, your knowledge and detachment will never bring you into the department of the serious Krishna searcher, the serious student of Krishna consciousness. This eagerness, just like in order to rise, you need some stable heartbeat. Do you have this sometimes? I think Matajis by nature have a weak blood circulation. Is this true? Sometimes some weakness is there. And then sometimes I remember I also suffer from this weak heart and weak circulation. And sometimes, especially after a boring lecture, and then it's hot in the India, and then you just can't rise, because the heartbeat is no longer existence any longer. If you just get stranded somewhere, lost, left, So this also happens when you don't fight eagerness in your heart, my dear devotees. Your circulation is weak. You can't rise. Your knowledge can't help you rise. Your detachment can't help you rise. Without the eagerness, the strong heartbeat, which takes care of a healthy circulation of enthusiasm in your life, you will get stranded, lost in some dark corner of the mind, and so on. This eagerness, where can we get this eagerness? Where is the marketplace of this eagerness, where this eagerness is available? Rupa Goswami has given the hint. There are Krishna sellers, a Krishna devotee. They are not poor. They only want this price, the eagerness. So go to these devotees. They sell Krishna, but they also have eagerness. Otherwise, they wouldn't have Krishna and wouldn't be a proper sellers on the marketplace of the holy name. So this eagerness is very, very important. And in order to get it, you need to associate with serious sadhakas and hear. Because you must know one thing about this world. This world has been described in many poetic languages in our Sanskrit literature. It's a place of diversion. Your eagerness will easily be diverted to something else. Have you noticed there are so many things which can catch our interest? Many things, you know, troubling situation can catch our... We become very eager to solve our trouble, our health trouble, our communication trouble, our personal troubles. We put all our energy in there. Then we need to maintain ourselves. So when we are very poor, which most of us are, the question will be, Luca, it's not so good if you climb on the tree, because I heard a crackling. The tree feels the pain, Luca. Understood. Krishna can climb on the trees and they will be very happy. They are great saints and saints and sages, and we should not climb on them. This world has many, many tricks to divert our attention. Many tricks. There's constantly something is happening. And we are constantly diverted. And if we don't surround ourselves with serious sadhakas, it will be difficult to maintain our eagerness in Krishna consciousness. It will be very difficult. If we don't enter the protected area of good sadhakas, it will be very difficult. It will be very difficult. The world constantly knocks at us, as if, you know, those who carry mobile phones know this, constantly just peep, 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 you know. Here is the master of mobile phones amongst us, Marpa Muni. You can ask him how it is to carry a mobile phone in this world. Peep, peep, peep. All this peep, peep, peep. The world constantly peeps at us. Come here, do this, take care of this, defend your good name and position. Righten your cause constantly. It's very, sit down and chant, and you know how many thoughts are coming. 32,000 thoughts are coming now. I've forgotten. Was it an hour or so? A day, only a day. 32,000 thoughts a day. Ooh, so many thoughts. So you must come in the protected area of serious devotees. Or like we do here in this retreat. This retreat is a blessing of Giriraj, Srila Prabhupada and Purijan Prabhu. Yes,
you had the idea.
Protect your back.
Buridhan Prabhu had the idea. He took
it
the.
It was actually your idea, not my idea.
I don't believe it was my. I don't have good ideas like that. This
it
is
must have been Braja Bihari's idea. Braja
Bihari's, yes. So because here we can plan, we can try to be undiverted in our attention. This is very important. And when you don't allow all these diverted thoughts and you hear something which inspires you, then your eagerness is born. Yeah, I also want to become a good devotee. When I get home, so and so many things I will not do any longer. I will not look any longer at. And my TV, I might try to give my TV for 1 month to my neighbor and practice abstinence. We also have congregational devotees here. Yeah? So yes. There is a story in this connection, which is very long, but I will make it very short. I will just read it to you from Srila Prabhupada. It's an illustration how in the association of devotees this eagerness is born. Prabhupada described that there was a professional reciter who read apparently from the Bhagavatam about Lord Krishna and his cowherding pastimes, how he went each day into the forest with the cows, and he described Krishna's ornamentation. And he described, I heard, that there is this nose pearl which Krishna wears here in the nose, and this nose pearl is constantly trembling because Krishna breathes. And it is bathed in a red color because the redness of Krishna's, of the inside of Krishna's nostrils is reflected on this otherwise white pearl, and it is swinging back and forth, bathed in this divine redness, and the gopis are constantly interested in this, in the movement of this beautiful dancing Sri pearl. So the thief heard this. Yes. So there was a thief in that meeting. So he thought, why not then go to Vrindavan and plunder this boy? He's in the forest with so many valuable jewels. I can go there and catch the child and take all the jewels. That was his intention. So he was serious that I must find out that boy. Then in one night I shall become a millionaire. So many jewelries. So he went there. But his qualification was that I must see Krishna. I must see Krishna. That anxiety, that eagerness made it possible that in Vrindavan he saw Krishna. He saw Krishna the same way as he was informed by the Bhagavata reader. Isn't that amazing? Once Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples, how can I become Krishna conscious? And Srila Prabhupada answered, by your anxiety. The devotee thought, I have joined with another reason. I want to become free from anxiety. I don't want to get anxiety. Then Prabhupada gave the example of what he meant with anxiety, or the he didn't speak of the anxiety-ridden Sankirtan man who doesn't yet have his results together, or the poor manager who is grieving about his heavy load of service and nothing works out and no money and no cooperation. No, he gave the what he meant with anxiety, he gave the example of Yashoda, who just always wishes to serve Krishna with everything. You remember we heard how Yashoda was ready even to become a maidservant of Devaki, to just see Krishna for only 1 minute a day and serve Krishna by washing his clothes and so on and so on. This is Yashoda's life. So this type of anxiety can also be expressed here in this context, eagerness to serve Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada talks more about this, and we have published a beautiful children book about the complete story. And, but is it in English? I believe it's in English, or it's in German only. You have to learn this beautiful language. I'm obviously joking. Don't learn it; it's not beautiful. So, yes, this eagerness will bring you Krishna. And to get this eagerness, we need to come into the association of the devotees. We need to hear them, we need to see their example, how they run after Krishna, how they may forget their meals even to serve Krishna, and how they are very heavy and very urgent in their service for Krishna. This type of example, you know, when you met Srila Prabhupada, he was so much emanating this eagerness to serve Krishna. Do you know, ISKCON is meant by Prabhupada, and it's really like this, as a loving offering to his own spiritual master. Here I brought these people for you, Guru Maharaj. And so eager, no? So this example, you will see it. In Prabhupada's association, you could not sleep except for the lectures, unfortunately. there is a curse, you know, when the Bhagavatam is told that the Nidra Devi takes shelter. There's some story like that, but Or you know, you just feel so at home, and the vibration is just so pure that you nothing to worry, and you go. Anyways, but when you met him, you met the compactness of a raging fire of eagerness to serve Krishna. Imagine when Prabhupada was preparing to leave, he was not completed with the Bhagavatam, so he dictated the Srimad Bhagavatam commentaries. Who of you has seen this movie of Prabhupada dictating in his last days the Bhagavatam? It's amazing, isn't it? Eagerness. This you get from such an example. And unmotivated service for eagerness for or you know, when you hear about Krishna, you also feel like, I also want to serve Krishna a little. This is so nice, Krishna is so wonderful. Yes, this idea comes into your mind. It comes into your mind, and you think, I also, yes, why not? Yeah, for me also, and in my own humble ways, yes. And you start to start this path of your eagerness. Look for the road of eagerness. When you are on the road of eagerness, your heartbeat will be very, very healthy. This eagerness in Krishna consciousness will carry you through the successive states of advancement. Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, and all the states of Prema. Here on the sacred place, I would like to tell you about the eagerness of Srimati Radharani. When Radha wants to meet Krishna always, And but it's difficult because she lives with Kutila, the complicated one, who watches the step of her door, of Radha's door, that Radha doesn't go out. And so she has to really know how to move in the midst of the night without anyone perceiving it. So in the inner courtyard of Radharani's little apartment, she practices moving through the dark forest. She puts for her practice the whole courtyard full of thorns, so that she learns to walk over thorns to meet her Krishna. So eager. Then she trains. She learns those mantras which you need to pacify agitated cobras, whom you have stepped on the midst of the night. Some mantra is there. Because she wants to meet Lord Krishna, even in the dark night. And then sometimes in the monsoon, the path of Vrindavan becomes so slippery that it's not possible to go easily. So she has buckets of water put on the muddy ground of her, and muddies her ground in her courtyard, and learns to walk without slipping and falling, because she wants to meet Krishna. So we can hear this, and we can think, Krishna must be wonderful if this, it must be wonderful. Think of Krishna, that even Brahma, Shiva, they want to come to him, but they can't reach him. I remember my godbrother, and here will end. We were together in the preaching in Kassel at an art exhibition, and we had our Harinam just before the entrance of this huge art exhibition. And there was a constant stream of people flowing by, going by. So we were not at all interested, of interest, because all of the people had bought tickets to enter the art exhibition to see Andy Warhol and other paintings and exhibited. And they had the agenda. So we couldn't bring them to stop. We were playing, but we just... Zoom, 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 zoom. Then my godbrother said, Bhakti Bhusha Maharaj, he said, don't stop here. He shouted very loud, don't stop here. It's very dangerous to stop before us. Please quickly go to the exhibition. Don't stop here, as the crowd was growing. Go, go, go. The crowd was still growing, swelling on. Don't stop here. 2,000 people. What is here? I'm not allowed to stay here. This is the tactic of Rupa Goswami. Don't stay. Should all go. With great eagerness we should go. We should follow the lead of the divine scriptures. They are also meant to create this rasa, a taste. Eagerness is a taste in our heart. These bhakti granthas. You know, when we read these wonderful books which are available, Krishna book, we want to also, oh yes, very nice, wonderful. This place, back to God, a place very appealing to me. We should march with eagerness on this path. Don't look back to the world. Don't go back to the world. Eagerly look for your prospect, your great hope, Asha Bandha, to be joining Lord Krishna in his wonderful realm beyond birth and death. Look eagerly to this possibility which is there, which you can immediately get if you just buy this, get this prize together in your heart, this eagerness. become beggars in the land of eagerness. If you want to find the real devotees, look for them in the land of eagerness. There they are. They will help you to enliven your spiritual heart. By nature, we are eager. We are unfortunately a little distracted still at the moment, but by nature, our eagerness propels and pushes us only to Krishna. This is where I would like to end. I still feel I have not done justice to this beautiful verse and the subject matter, but maybe some other time with some more insights, more is coming. Now we want to invite our Danuda Maharaj to please take the seat and address us all.
Hearing everybody's stomachs.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
Srila Rupa Goswami ki
jai!
The right feet, the right eagerness ki
jai!
Vancha kalpa karubhyascha Vipashindhu Mahivaja Patinam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasade Ghor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Actually, I wasn't expecting to speak. I've come to the retreat as a guest to get Sadhu Sangha because I knew that actually, that's the most important thing. Uddhava, Krishna tells Uddhava, the Parama Guyam, the topmost secret. And the topmost secret is that there is nothing more important in advancement in spiritual life than Sadhu Sangha. And I realized that there would be real Sadhu Sangha. And real Sadhu Sangha has three qualities. People are more advanced, they're like-minded, and they're affectionate to you. So this attracted me to come here. And as a courtesy, they're asking me to speak. And as a courtesy to everyone, I will speak only briefly. Now, when I say that, I usually speak for several hours. But because the last time this happened to me, I said the same thing. But I'll just try to share one thing. Very interesting at the when Jagatrini Mata was giving us, sharing with us the last moments. She was sharing with us the last moments of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that's very, very significant. I read in the latest Krishna Kathamrita about the Putana story that at the end, Putin, at the very end, you know, she was a very beautiful lady, and then she revealed her true nature. And the commentary was given, at the end of life, there's nothing to hide. So at the same way, we see with the great souls, at the end, there's nothing to hide. So their hearts may come out fully. I was in Srila Prabhupada's room in his last days, and then his heart opened up, and surprisingly said, not surprisingly, but in one sense it was surprising because he was bedridden, that he wanted to go to Govardhan. And even I remember Lokanath Swami and Trivikram Swami, that he ran out to go get a bullock cart and, I should speak more into it, so it's very, very significant. So when she was reading that, I'd like to get this research, she was saying the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but those words are actually the pranam mantra to Srila Rupa Goswami. So I'm wondering if that pranam mantra comes from his words that he spoke at the end of his life, or he was actually chanting the pranam mantra. What? No. The one that she quoted was Adadanas Trinam Dantir Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padambojo Duli Sham Janma Jamini. The Sanskrit wasn't quoted, but it says, with a straw, it's not here, but with a straw in my teeth, Adananas Trinam Dantir Idam Yache Puna Puna. I beg, Idam Yache Puna Puna. I beg again and again with a straw in my street. A store in my teeth. Srimad Rupa Padambhoja Duli Janma Janmini. That birth after birth, I'm begging with a straw in my teeth. That birth after birth, I can have the dust of the feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. What, can you just say it in English again? I think people can. So, Adadanas Trinam Dantir, everyone. Adadanas Trinam Dantir, straw in my street. Idam ya, teeth. Idam ya che puna puna.
Idam ya che puna puna.
I'm begging. Srimad Rupa Padambhoja.
Srimad Rupa Padambhoja.
Duli Sham Janma Janmani.
Duli Sham Janma.
So this is very much the mood. And the Sisha, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it also says that the Sisha, or the disciple, takes the mood of his spiritual master. And that was also very, very much Prabhupada's mood. I celebrated Srila Prabhupada's Disappearance Day festival at our ISKCON Govardhan, and Harisari Prabhu spoke, and he spoke on Srila Prabhupada and book publishing. So as the audience were practically comprised of people who worked in the BBT, which was Keshava Bharti Maharaj, Jayadvaita Swami, Gopi Pranadana, they let him go on and on and on this particular subject because it had so much relevance to them. But he also, he told two stories about Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami, which was it. He said that when he was Prabhupada's servant, Hari Kesh told him that Prabhupada said that at Radha Damodar he had personal darshan of Srila Rupa Goswami. So he said, I have to ask Srila Prabhupada. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that you had darshan of Srila Rupa Goswami? And Prabhupada said, everyone knows that. So what can he do? He couldn't. That was the answer. So he couldn't ask about that, couldn't say anything. And for 28 years it sat until our God system, Mula Prakriti, wrote a book about interviews with people who knew Prabhupada before ISKCON, and they had an interview with one person. I think it's something you know, Gopal Chandra Ghosh, who's a respected scholar, and in that book he told the same story, that when he was a young boy he visited Prabhupada at Radha Damodar, and Prabhupada very excitedly told him that he had darshan of Rupa Goswami. What exactly that means may be beyond our understanding, but we can understand for sure the inspiration by the transcendental system. Srila Prabhupada was there in Radha Damodar to plan increasing the service of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, and he was looking out at the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami, getting his inspiration. And in separation from Vrindavan, whenever I'm in the West, and wherever I'm speaking, there's two verses I have to chant. That one to Rupa Goswami, and meditating on his samadhi, because that's the source of the inspiration of our movement. I'll say one more thing, hopefully. And that expresses really the mood of Rupa Goswami, which is utter humility. And I just wanted to say just one point. Bhurijan Prabhu was speaking about this also, Trinada Peace and Ichena, that humility somehow or other allows us Kirtaniya Siddhahari, to chant always. So I was trying to meditate, and of course, in many, many ways. We know this as a fact. Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita comes to the conclusion that there's no difference between dainya and utter humility and prema bhakti. We even know when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was challenged in Vrindavan, what is your Siddha mantra? And he said, Trinada Peace and Ichena, that this utter humility, the whole Shikshastakam, if you study the Shikshastakam, it corresponds, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that it corresponds to the stages of devotional service. And we see that as the Shikshastakam progresses, it's a deepening of the mood of humility. And finally, what's the utter mood of humility, which represents Sambhog Prem, Aslishiva Padaritam Panastumam Adarshanam. The utter mood of humility is prema. You may crush me by your embrace. You may be brokenhearted by not being before you, being present before me. So I just wanted to say how humility leads to Kirtaniya Siddhahari, how the humble soul can chant constantly. And the reason is you can only do any activity and get pleasure from that activity if you're doing it with love. Karma is no fun, because karma means what? You're doing an activity, but you're doing it for the result. So the activity is not pleasant. You have to spend money. You have to do work. It's the result you get. If you do gyan, there's so many austerities. That's not, but the goal is moksha. That's your pleasure. But bhakti is causeless. It means that you're doing it for the activity itself, not anything outside of the activity. And therefore, it's a haitaki apratiyata. It's without motive, without cause. It's done out of love, and therefore apratiyata. It can be done constantly. So when you do an activity without love, that's called work. No one likes work. You'll stop in a second if you don't have to work. But you can always do the activity that if you're doing it out of affection, that's called love. And that one can do constantly and without stop. So what's the relationship between humility and love? Humility enables you to experience mercy. Mercy means undeserved kindness. If you're in a mood, you have pride, you think that you deserve something, then you're not experiencing mercy. I thought of a formula that how we can measure mercy. Mercy is the value of the distance between the value of, the distance between how we value something that we're getting and how little we think we deserve it. So the less you think you deserve it, and the more you think the thing is valuable, the more you'll experience mercy. So when someone is very, very humble, he experiences mercy. even when Satchinandana Maharaj, he was giving us that partana padati, the step-by-step procedure for prayer. What is it? The first part, it was very nice, glorification. So what's glorification? It's helping you to realize the value of what you're getting. And what's the second part? The second part is meditating on how unqualified you are for it. So that's our paditi, to appreciate Krishna, appreciate the holy name so much, and really have a practical understanding of how little we are qualified for that. And then we experience mercy. And the feeling of mercy is the mood that inspires affection or love. In this world, when you get kindness, then you feel love for that which is the bestower of that kindness. So when you actually are feeling mercy from something, then you have affection. So if you're humble, in a humble state of mind, you're chanting the holy name, and you're hearing Chaito Darpanam Marjanam, how great it is, it cleanses the heart, Bhava Mahada Vagni Nirvapanam, it purifies us of material desire, Shreya Kairaiva Chandrika Vitaranam, that it's like a lotus, which, and our hearts, it's like the moon, which blossoms our heart and gives us devotional ecstasy. When you're actually appreciating how wonderful the holy name is, and then you're seeing your condition, etajasi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam indrisam ihajani nada. I have no affection, I have no devotion. And then that humility deepens. Then you'll begin to appreciate and begin to experience the mercy of the holy name and have affection for the holy name. So this is our path, and this is the path given by Srila Rupa Goswami.
What was the second verse?
Vairagya yug bhakti rasam payatnai apaya mam manabipsamandam kripambudhiya paraduka duki sanatanas tam prabhum asriyami.
That's the second verse.
What does it mean?
What?
What does it mean?
That's prayers to Vairagya yug bhakti rasam. Although I am unwilling to take the nectar of bhakti, which is enriched by renunciation from this world. This is Raghunath Das Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, who kripam buddhiya paraduka duki, who's suffering for everyone else's suffering and is an ocean of mercy, by he's forcing me to take this nectar of devotion. Sanatan is tam prabha, and therefore I'm bowing my head to him. That's the second verse. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.